Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Good morning, Cap and Company, ready to go on ESPN 1000 with Danny Zetterman, Chris Black. I'm David Kaplan. So yesterday, we found out that two guys are going into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Derek Jeter gets 396 of 397 votes. Love to know who the goof is that didn't think he's a Hall of Famer. That'll come out because they have to release all the ballots in 14 days unless he chooses to out himself or herself. Don't understand how you can possibly have a ballot, look at it, and go, Derek Jeter, not really a Hall of Famer. But we'll get into that discussion because, thank goodness, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens fell short. All the steroids guys fall short. Curt Schilling, I know, has an amazing postseason record. And he didn't get in. His career ERA regular season 3.94 turned some voters off. I get it, but if you go through his postseason record in the biggest games on the biggest stage in the sports history, he was pretty impressive. Danny, if Curt Schilling was going in, he pitched for the Phillies, the Diamondbacks, the Red Sox, would he wear one of those hats or a MAGA hat?
What?
That was pretty good. Anyway, we'll get your thoughts on the Hall of Fame voting from yesterday. Last night, Joel Quenneville and the Florida Panthers came into town. And they skate away with a win over the Blackhawks last night. But it was really cool. I was there in the late afternoon, and we did our Sports Talk Live show from there. There was just a cool vibe. People were wearing these thank you Q shirts with a mustache drawn on the bottom of it all around the arena. The Blackhawks did a beautiful video tribute. His players skated over by his Florida bench. And they did a pregame ceremony honoring Patrick Kane for his 1,000th point, 90th player in NHL history. Blackhawks handled that magnificently. There was one glitch last night. Are you guys aware of the glitch I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'm aware, because you just said it was a beautiful tribute, and had I not had social media, I would have never seen it, Mr. NBC Sports Chicago.
I haven't seen it still.
Okay, so I'm going to read a statement from my boss.
Well, tell us what happened first.
Here's what happened. Last night, Blackhawks and NBC Sports Chicago put together this amazingly cool video tribute to Joel Quenneville, set to Behind Blue Eyes by The Who.
Which is just a dumb choice. I'll switchblade that in a little bit.
Okay. If you're watching the game on the Florida Panthers network, you saw the entire thing, and their announcers talked about Chicago being one of the great sports cities in the world, and here's this great tribute, and Q got a little emotional, and he's looking up, and he's loving what they're showing, and it's all these great highlights from, you know, his run. Except, unfortunately, my station that I work at, NBC Sports Chicago, which is a wonderful place, dropped the ball and they didn't air the statement, the video tribute, for whatever reason. So I reached out to my bosses. Kevin Cross is the senior vice president of NBC Sports Chicago. A wonderful guy. And I texted him this morning and said, can you tell me what happened? Because we're getting crushed for it. And so he sent me a statement that he would like me to read. And again, it got foobarred. It happened. It shouldn't have happened. And he assures people that it won't happen again. NBC Sports Chicago has a tremendous respect for Joel Quenneville and what he and the Blackhawks gave to Chicago during his tenure here. Our failure to run the magnificent tribute to him last night live on our broadcast was an unacceptable error, and we apologize to Coach Q, the Chicago Blackhawks, and all the great Blackhawks fans everywhere. We have addressed the issue internally with our staff, and we will make sure our fans are not underserved again in the future. So He falls on the sword. It happened. And that's it. But if you haven't seen it, you can find it on social media. It's sensationally done.
Let me ask a question. Let me jump in here and ask a question. For those sitting at home last night, like me, mm-hmm. like Danny, we were watching. We were waiting. We didn't see it. Okay? I wasn't on social media at the time, so I wasn't actively searching for people to post videos themselves. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you guys, NBC Sports Chicago, at one of the intermission breaks, just air it? That would have been a simple solution where I would have seen it. Pat Boyle could have introduced it. Here you go. Here's the video that we aired in the first period in the stadium. Now you at home get to enjoy it. Boom. No issue. Right? Like, if they would have played it within the first intermission, I don't think Danny would be upset. I wouldn't be upset. No one would be upset.
I can't answer that question for you. I was not in master control there last night. I'm sure that there had to be some editing done to take what was airing on the scoreboard and air it on television, because if we had aired it live, we would have shown exactly the scoreboard feed. So again, I don't know exactly how the sausage was made on this one. I'm just letting you behind the scenes that can happen. And my bosses are aware of that, and they apologize profusely for it.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
it shouldn't have happened.
Listen,
and hopefully it won't happen again.
It's not the end of the world. It would have been nice to see. That's it. It's not the end of the world.
Agree.
When you got guys like me and Chris Bleck tuning in and watching an entire hockey game because of that, and you miss it, you drop the ball. I mean, I literally, when they came back and I didn't see it, I was like, wait a minute. This is the whole reason I'm watching this Blackhawks game right now.
Right. I was watching it because I had the over.
A skeptic would look at it and say, did the Hawks not want it to be aired? That's what a skeptic would think.
Right.
Because as I'm sitting at home, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if, because I got to see the whole Kane celebration beforehand, mm-hmm. which really, it's great for him, but the night was about Quenneville returning, mm-hmm. but I got to see all of the Patrick Kane video. It was an awesome video.
Right.
It was great. I enjoyed him coming onto the ice, him getting the golden puck and everything that goes into it. So a skeptic would look at it and go, interesting. It wasn't aired for the local television market.
Yeah, and I understand that. And again, I have been assured by my bosses that it was on our end. And
well, who else's end could it be on? Couldn't be on Coach Q's end.
No, I'm saying it wasn't like a truck issue.
Oh, yeah.
It was our station, NBC Sports Chicago. We foobarred that.
And who made the tribute?
The video?
Yes.
I can't answer that. I'm assuming it was Blackhawks TV in concert with our TV station. That's because how I would assume it got done.
I'm a music guy. I love music. And I love the band The Who.
Yeah, I don't know who picked that.
The choice of Behind Blue Eyes as the song is really suspect. Now, first and foremost, is Coach Q having blue eyes a known thing? Like, Frank Sinatra was called Old Blue Eyes. You know he has blue eyes. We talk about how Yurko has beautiful blue eyes all the time.
We do.
I don't pay super close attention to hockey.
Yeah, we do.
But I didn't know that Coach Q had blue eyes. So what I did is I texted about 9 of my friends that really pay close attention to hockey. Yurko, Carmen being amongst them. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew he had blue eyes. So that's the first suspect thing. Like, we just all know he has blue eyes. Second of all, the lyrics of the song. No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man behind blue eyes. No one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies. Like, the song is sung from the perspective of the villain. And we're playing this for the winningest coach in franchise history, the second winningest coach in NHL history, who was unceremoniously fired. It just seems suspect. Like Chris said, first you wonder why they didn't show it on TV. Then when you finally see it, you're like, boy, what a depressing, hateful song. And I love that song. I really do love that song. It just didn't fit.
Yeah.
And he has blue eyes, and I just wasn't aware of it. I apologize. And maybe he does have blue eyes.
Is it Coach Q's favorite song?
Maybe. I don't know that. I cannot answer any of these questions.
Like, when you listen to this, does this sound like celebrating the greatest coach in Blackhawk history?
My love is vengeance that's never free.
Yeah, no, no, it doesn't. It doesn't sound like
that
at all.
I have blue eyes, and if one day at my funeral you guys play this, I'll be pissed.
You have blue eyes?
Yeah. Thanks for looking. They're huge.
So do I, Cap. Do you not pay attention to your producers who work on your show every day that look at you every single day? You got four blue eyes looking at you right now.
That's it. Do you know what color my eyes are?
I have no idea.
Yeah, they're brown.
No, I don't have brown eyes, but good try.
What do you mean? They're brown.
No, they're not.
What color do you think they are?
Like the hazel? Guy says
what, in what do you hazel? Think you're like Elizabeth Taylor and you have lavender eyes?
No, like the guy says in My Cousin Vinny, hazel green.
No, you don't. Defense.
Yes, I do. Look at my driver's license. You
can write on my driver's license. It says I'm 6'2".
Yeah. Yeah, in your dreams. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. So I enjoyed it. I watched the game last night, and I watched the video on social media and thought, I must have just missed it. Must have just missed it on TV. But how could that be? I was out to dinner with my son. Thinking, wait a minute. Well, okay, we must have missed it. I look on my phone, and the Florida TV station tweeted it out. So I'm like, hey, Brett, we got to look at this. And there it was. So anyway, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. And really fast, let's grab Vicky in North Aurora. She's a P1, too. Hey, Vicky.
Hey, Cap. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Really good. You know, I was watching the game last night. I really thought the Kane tribute, I mean, the Kane thing was really cool, too. Very emotional. But it's pretty well documented that the Who is Coach Q's favorite band. So that probably had a lot to do with what
there you go. Okay.
Okay. The Who is one of the most, Vicky, the Who is one of the most decorated bands of all time. Their catalog includes so many upbeat, happy songs. Why would you choose a depressing song about the villain that's hated?
Well, maybe that's his favorite song, kid.
Dude, don't shoot the messenger here.
No,
okay?
I'm not blaming you, Vic.
I know. I'm like, I have no idea, but that does explain. I agree, but probably the blue eyes, the Who, you know, I mean, that probably all had something to do with it. Yeah, was it the best choice of song? No, but it does give a little more clarity probably to the background behind it. So that's all I wanted to say. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Vic.
All right, bye-bye.
No, there's 1,000 better Who songs.
Maybe this is his favorite song. See, I told you guys, maybe it's his favorite song.
How about my generation? I mean, he's the coach of the generation. How about my generation?
Bob O'Reilly.
Bob O'Reilly's great.
Who are you?
Another great one.
There you
I'm
go.
Surprised you know so way, many Who songs.
I love the Who. By the way, I was just told by someone who would know over at NBC Sports Chicago, Blackhawks made the tribute video. We did not have a hand in the scoreboard video.
Ooh. All right.
There you go.
Danny might have a point now.
There you go. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Take a timeout. Seth Greenberg, former college head coach at multiple places, great ESPN analyst on the awful brawl in Lawrence, Kansas last night between K-State and KU. Rock, chalk, Jayhawk, go KU, Danny. We'll be right back.
This is Cap and Company. Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
In the beautiful city of Chicago. I've got college buckets tonight. Tune in, NBC Sports Chicago. I'll be down at Bradley. Get off the air, jump in the car, 2.5 hours down. I got the War on 74, Illinois State at Bradley tonight. And then I'm at LaSalle for VCU LaSalle on Saturday in Philly. Looking forward to it. The college basketball season took an ugly turn last night. Seth Greenberg, who's my friend, he's a great ESPN analyst, was an outstanding head coach, joins me right now. Seth, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Cap, what's going on? You're the Cap Man. I like that. I like that. I like the music. I like the intro. I mean, life is good.
There you go. Life is really good. And we both get up in the morning and don't have to worry about combing our hair.
And we're undefeated.
Well, we're undefeated. That's the best. I always say to guys, hey, man, game ends tonight. I put my notes back in my backpack. My wife packed a little thing of food for me for my three-hour drive home later at night. And boom, that's it. You go watch tape and worry about winning in 2 days.
You can actually even taste that food when you eat it now.
Exactly right. Okay, so let's talk about what happened last night. Kansas, I heard you over the weekend say, is the most talented team in the country. They have an exceptional coach. He's Hall of Famer. He's Bill Self. I love him. But what happened last night, that can never happen again. What was your takeaway?
Oh, it was egregious, reprehensible. I mean, it was disappointing. It was a black eye on our game. I mean, and here's the thing. I mean, let's just go through. Each event created a bigger event. Look, the Kansas State and both schools. This isn't just a Kansas thing. This is a Kansas State thing also. Both schools are culpable. But, like, the stealing of the basketball and going for layup, I don't buy it. That's a basketball play. Look, it's a poor sportsmanship, sure. Standing over a guy, unacceptable. Block the shot, move on. He stole the ball from you. That's fine. What happened after that and how it escalated and the manner in which it escalated, the K-State kid, James Love, coming off the bench, absolutely should be suspended, not allowed to put on a Kansas State uniform. It's a privilege to put on a uniform. It's not a rite of passage.
Yep.
And with that privilege goes a certain behavior. And both teams broke that, basically, the cardinal rule of, you know, you represent the people that came in before you. And it's an embarrassment to anyone that's ever played. Now, as it escalated, there are certain things to me that are cringeworthy. I mean, the picture that we used last night on SportsCenter of Silvio de Sousa holding that chair. Thank goodness for Coach Howard. Thank goodness for Coach Howard. Coach Howard basically saved us from an absolute horrendous, horrendous situation by stepping in. And Bill Self as well. He got right in the middle of that melee. You know, seeing what potentially could have been Dave McCormick kicking someone. Look, that can happen. And to me, this is above Bill Self. This is above Bruce Weber. Right now, this is why when the administrators need to step in. Right? There's no posturing in this. This is the athletic director at Kansas, the athletic director at Kansas State, and the Big 12 office coming down quickly, coming down severely, and making a statement. We saw what happened in the Purdue game the day before. We saw Brad Underwood in the Illinois game come up and step up and say something immediately. We need something strong and severe. I can't imagine a scenario where a number of those guys play again this year.
So, yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. If you were the head coach and you didn't feel that the punishment was serious enough, would you go above and beyond it if you were Bill Self and say, Silvio de Sousa, you're done. Bruce Weber saying, so-and-so, you're done. Sorry, I'm not going to get my program disrespected like that ever again.
Yeah, I don't think either of those two guys can put out a uniform again this year. I mean, I really believe that. You know, I think it's James Love, the kid who came off the bench, that wasn't even suited up. He was injured, but he was healthy enough to get in the melee.
Crazy.
And then Silvio de Sousa, you know, yeah, you don't want to bring so much track record in, but I mean, Kansas has stood by that kid.
Yep.
And it's fought for that kid. And look, it's very unfortunate. I don't know the young man. He might be a terrific. I know David McCormick, and I was shocked because David McCormick is a. I had him play for me on a team that I took to Italy a couple of years ago, and he was just a pleasure to be around. But yeah, you know, anyone using the two things that bother me. Someone saying, well, it's a rivalry game. These things happen. No, these things don't happen. All right, I don't want to hear it's a rivalry game. I played in a zillion rivalry games. I played in Virginia Tech, and I used to tell our kids, you represent every single person that's ever walked across this drill field. That never happened. I played in incredible rivalry games. When you're at South Florida and you get a chance to go play at Florida, that's a rivalry game. You know what? There's acceptable and unacceptable behavior. It's really that simple. There's acceptable and unacceptable behavior. You know, you always talk to your kids about making good decisions. And that behavior from both sides, both culpable, was unacceptable, and there needs to be a severe consequence.
Yep, and I would think we'll hear about that sooner rather than later. In terms of basketball in Illinois, which has been dormant for a long time, man, other than Loyola getting to the Final Four. We went a number of years, Seth, where zero teams were in the tournament out of the entire state. And I think it's as good a state as there is in the world for high school basketball. And all these guys were leaving, and finally Porter Moser got it going at Loyola. This year, Brad Underwood just crushes Purdue on the road yesterday. Dave Leto just drills Butler in Chicago the other day and has a number of really quality wins on his resume. What are your thoughts on the Illini, Io Desunmu, Kofi? They got some really good players there.
They're really good. And I like that they're playing the two bigs, and then that because they're playing the two bigs, they've changed what they're doing defensively. They're not, you know, absolutely mugging you, keeping it on one side, denying everything. They're being a little bit more physical, a little bit more pack line oriented. Kofi Coburn, it's got to be a myth that he's only played a couple of years of basketball.
He's really good.
Because he's going to be really, really good. The Sumo's playing better. I think as a team, you know, they have a better feel. They're not turning it over. They get, you know, obviously Brad's team is going to have a toughness. You know, the light bulb goes on different times for different kids and different teams. You know, everyone wants a quick fix. We want a quicker phone, a quicker computer. We want everything now. Building a program is a process. Building a culture is a process. Creating an identity is a process. But I love what Brad's doing and what Dave's been able to do to persevere. The hardest thing, as you and I know, in coaching, is if you lose momentum, gaining momentum back.
Yep.
It's really, really hard.
It is.
It's really hard because, you know, you have the doubters. It used to be just talk radio. Now it's Twitter. It's bloggers. It's this. Everyone's an expert. Every guy that's never called a timeout. Every guy that's never run a practice, every guy that's never developed a player, every guy that's never had to deal with a player whose mom had an issue or whose brother was sick or, you know, they all have the answers.
Yep.
But they never walked in your shoes to understand it's bigger than just coaching your team. The amount of static around building a program today is incredible. The amount of static around your players is incredible. It's a really hard job now. You get paid really well now. I mean, let's face it. The money's incredible. But it's a really hard job. To do what Dave's been able to do, you know, has been phenomenal. And also, you know, with a little bit of that NCAA stuff hanging over it, you know, piecing it together. But Dave's a good man. He's a basketball guy. You know, he's a lifer. He worked, you know, for Jim Calhoun, who's, you know, still coaching, a lifer. So both of those guys have done great jobs. And I think Chris is going to, you know, I'm sure people in Chicago are a little down on Chris, and, you know, they built a new facility, a new practice facility. I think, you know, they had that breakthrough year. Then they couldn't play a home game, which really hurt the momentum. But no one's more passionate about what he's doing than Chris Collins. And no one's
agreed.
More committed and cares more and is more committed to getting this thing right. And it's not a question of he's going to work hard enough. It's not a question of he's a good enough coach. It's not a question of that he's going to recruit the right type of kids to Northwestern. All those things are check, 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 check. They will get back. They're playing in a league right now that is absolutely at another level compared to everyone else. Another level compared to everyone else. You talked about that win for Illinois. That blew my mind because, I mean, winning on the road, you should get a gold star for winning a road game in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and last night, Northwestern has a 40-26 lead at the half. And I'm thinking, boy, that's a hell of a win if you can hang on and close this out. They get outscored 51-26 in the second half.
Oh, that was unbelievable. And you know, you got to give, you know, Mark Turgeon credit. You know, Turge is a terrific coach, and they've got good players. But, you know, he's a little Larry Brown in him, and that he wants to play the right way, play the right way, play the right way. He's got a team that's built to play faster.
Yep, no doubt.
They've got to play ahead of the defense. They've got to play more on instinct. And I thought they did that in the second half.
Before I let you go, is there a team or two that you've seen that, I'm not talking about the Dukes or the Kentuckys, where you go, that team can go to the Final Four, and if you get to the Final Four, anything can happen? Because I call the games every week in the Atlantic 10. I'm telling you, Dayton's as good a team as you're going to see.
I was on Obi Toppin before Maui. You're right about Dayton, man. You know, besides Obi, I mean, Crutcher is tough as nails. The points he had the other day in that St. Louis game, when he made that game winner.
Yep.
You think about that. You know that, Anthony, they've been in that situation before in time and scoring practice. Because he was so poised. It was absolutely incredible. He just brought that thing up. He surveyed the floor. They gave it a little bump. I mean, I love Chapman. I love Mikesell. I mean, they're a very complete team. I think San Diego State's in that same conversation, a veteran team. San Diego State's for real, fellas. I mean, they got three transfers. Yanni Wetzel's a nice player, without a doubt. I mean, Malachi Flynn is absolutely terrific. They're for real. Final Four good. You know, it's interesting. I think that I thought Butler could be in that conversation for a while. I'm not sure they are anymore, but there's some good teams out there. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I look forward to seeing you on the road soon, and please keep my man Dan Dockich in line when you see him.
You got it, brother. Thank you.
Have a great day. There he is, Seth Greenberg, ESPN College Basketball. We will take a fast time out. More of your calls. We've got to discuss a little more with our Kansas alum Danny about what happened last night, because for me, Silvio D'Souza, you played your last minute. You will never wear a uniform again. Reprehensible. We'll talk about it. Cap and Company rolls on ESPN 1000.
Cap. This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
So college basketball is in high gear. We have one pro football game left. Pro Bowl does not count. That is just an awful exhibition to watch. You watch the Pro Bowl, Chris?
No.
Me either.
I mean, when was the last time you watched the Pro Bowl? I know it rates really well, but when was the last time you sat down and committed time to watching it?
I can't remember. Cannot remember.
But you do hold Pro Bowl caliber quarterbacks in high regard, though. But you don't watch the game.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, here in Chicago, we have a starting quarterback who is a Pro Bowl quarterback who was in the game. But you don't value and watch the game. But you like to point out to me specifically, that Trubisky has been a Pro Bowl quarterback.
I just speak in facts, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Right. I'm pretty sure if you watched that game, he also looked atrocious in that game. But nonetheless.
I didn't watch.
Well, I know. Yeah, I know. So we covered that. But
I'm not a big fan of it.
Listen, I think it's one of those things that people turn it on because there's nothing else going on. And if you're not a diehard college basketball fan, then the Pro Bowl is like the one thing you can kind of watch just to be somewhat entertained. Maybe you like watching the different helmets all on the same field together. That's about it. I mean, they're not really playing football.
Yeah. Like, the NBA All-Star game does nothing for me. Nothing. Nobody guards anybody. It's 171 to 168. Just no interest whatsoever. Three-point slam dunk, yes, I enjoy that. Major League Baseball All-Star game, I enjoy that. Hate the Pro Bowl. And the NHL has devolved into some nebulous pile like nothing.
Listen, I don't hate the Pro Bowl. I just don't choose to spend my time watching it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a difference. You saying that you hate it, like, my whole thing with the Pro Bowl is it's completely unnecessary. Mm-hmm. You could just name the rosters.
Agreed.
And then you could do something like, do you remember back in the day they had the quarterback competitions, which they started doing again?
Do you remember?
That's all you need is I just want to watch quarterbacks throw the football. Like, that would be cool to watch.
You're too young. Danny might have seen it. But when I was a kid, there was a show called The Superstars. And it would be like this obstacle course, and you'd have,
I remember, you know, it,
Lynn Swan going up against some baseball player. It was awesome. Awesome. They do all these cool different events. The Superstars. But guys make so much money today, they don't need to do those things. There, hey man, we'll pay you $20,000. Come do this thing, whoever the player. They got the biggest of the big. O.J. Simpson would do that show back in the day.
They're having some Pro Bowl skills showdown this year, and Eddie Jackson is going to participate.
Really?
I don't know what it means, but he literally...
Are they bringing Mitch in to do that?
No. What kind of skills does Mitch have?
Oh, boy.
Well, I mean, Cap, you remember when he was there last time. He couldn't throw it over the glass
I didn't
wall.
See it.
You haven't seen that?
No.
He was in the quarterback skills competition, and he couldn't make the throws. It's been all over social media for the last year since he did it.
I never saw it.
He was the only one that like couldn't complete passes. I'm not making this up. It's all over there. People will tweet you it.
Oh, boy. Anyway, I'm not a huge All-Star Game fan. Baseball, for whatever reason, it just did it for me. I love baseball. It's in my heart. 312-332-3776. So Danny is a Kansas graduate. After watching that debacle last night, first of all, they won a rivalry game in blowout fashion, 81-59.
81-60 after the free throw.
Correct. They got the free throw at the end. What the hell was that fight, picking up a chair? Like, what's going on, man?
First of all, as a proud Kansas alum, I'm embarrassed by the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks that my favorite team is the Kansas Jayhawks. Forget the Bears, forget the Cubs. Because I went to school there, I am a Jayhawk. I put them above all else.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it took place at Fog Allen Fieldhouse, which many people say, I'll take my bias out of it, it's one of the greatest places in the country to watch a sporting event, and now it will ever forever be tainted. It reminded me of the Malice at the Palace, and it makes me sick to my stomach that it happened in Fog Allen Fieldhouse. There's no place for that. Sylvia DeSosa deserves to be off the Kansas Jayhawks basketball team immediately. Last segment, we talked to Seth Greenberg. He mentioned that Sylvia DeSosa's passed. If you don't remember, he was ruled ineligible because when that whole Adidas scandal came out,
yep,
it turned out that his legal guardian took money for him to go to Maryland. Then he took more money to let him out of his commitment to Maryland. Coach Bill Self and the Kansas Athletic Program stood by him through the whole thing. They fought for his eligibility to get back.
Mm-hmm.
They rewarded him with his eligibility. He comes back to the team, and this is how he repays that loyalty. Picking up a chair. You know what nobody else mentioned? The fight took place in the disabled student section.
Yeah, that was
Do you know how dangerous that is?
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. Listen, of course, the game was a blowout. It was 81-59 at that point, or 81, and the K-State students stole the ball. That's low class. You don't do that. It's bad sportsmanship. D'Souza with the block standing over him, that's even worse. But then for punches to be thrown over a blowout basketball game,
bad deal.
It's a bad deal. And people, you know, everybody's coming at me at Twitter because I'm the mouthpiece of Kansas here in Chicago. I get that. I wear my love for Kansas on my sleeve. Stop with the Bill Self stuff. He could not have been a classier guy yesterday. He said he was embarrassed. He said the punishment was going to be severe. He ran over there to break it up. People all went, oh, Bill Self's crooked. It's Bill Self's fault. Bill Self didn't allow that. Bill Self didn't tell people to throw punches. No, Bill Self didn't tell people to pick up a chair.
People are jealous of Bill Self's success.
Correct. That had nothing to do. Bill Self had nothing to do with it, and he couldn't have handled it in a more classy way, and I am sure the punishments are going to be very severe, and I hope they are, and I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed as a Jayhawk.
So if you were the athletic director, who's your athletic director? Bob Frederick, or is he out of there?
No, he's out of there. I'll tell you. Hold on.
Whoever
I can't
your
remember.
Athletic director is not important. Whoever it is, if Danny Zetterman was the athletic director, would you suspend Silvio D'Souza for the year, kick him out of the program? What would you do?
I would probably kick him off the basketball team. I think, you know, the old saying, you know, poop on me once, shame on you. Poop on me twice, shame on me.
What?
You never heard that saying, Chris? It's not poop, but you know what I mean.
Fool me once, shame on you.
There you go. There it is.
Fool me twice, shame on me.
I always heard it the other way. But anyways, okay. This isn't the first time that he's had an action that was kind of suspect, right?
Right.
So for me, listen, it's different if he's a superstar player on the team. I get that. He doesn't contribute much. He's, as Carmen says, is the juice worth the squeeze? I don't know if it is with him. You're picking up a chair to hit somebody in a basketball game in the disabled student section. I'm sorry, man. You don't deserve to represent the Jayhawk.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Obviously,
with
he's a young man, and everyone makes mistakes, and he's 21 years old. And Lord knows if people held me, you know, still made me remember the actions of when I was 21, I'd be in big trouble. So he made a mistake. I wouldn't take away his education. Let him get his education at the University of Kansas if that's what he chooses. But he doesn't need to represent us on the basketball court.
312-332-3776. Illini fans should be happy. I remember we had Brad Underwood in this studio when he got hired. Remember that? Brad Underwood was sitting right here, and I said on the air, and I did not like the hire of John Gross the day they made it. I took all this abuse from all the Illini fans. You're a hater. Why don't you like John Gross? Because I don't believe when you hire a coach at a particular institution, you don't go hire flavor of the day. Oh, that guy won two games in the tournament. He's red hot. He never finished above third in the Mid-American Conference. I thought it was a bad hire by the AD Mike Thomas. I said it publicly, took a beating by all the Illini files out there, and it turned out it was a bad hire. I loved the hire of Brad Underwood, and it took time to rebuild that program. But that Illini team, first of all, that guy can flat-out coach. He's intense, he's driven, he's passionate. We need to get him on the show. I love how hard his kids play, and now he's combined it with some stellar recruiting. They are really, really good. Finally, we have some quality college basketball in the state. Bradley's got a good team. I'm looking forward to watching them tonight. I would assume they'll beat Illinois State, but I'm excited to call the war on 74. DePaul's good. Loyola is good. And obviously the Flying Illini are really, really good. So excited to see how this winter goes on in college basketball here in the land of Lincoln, because it's about time that we have more than one team getting in. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. If Derek Jeter doesn't deserve to be the 100% unanimous vote into the Hall of Fame, does anyone? I mean, that's a joke that one guy decided not to vote for him. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss the guys that didn't get in next.
It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000 with Danny and with Chris. I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. So Derek Jeter gets 396 of 397 votes. One goof doesn't put him on his ballot. Now, again, Derek Jeter is going into the Hall of Fame. He's a first ballot guy. He has an amazing life and more money than he'll ever be able to spend. So one vote is not going to ruin his life. But how do you have a ballot, look at it and go, Derek Jeter, won multiple World Series, has over 3,500 hits, did this, and this in the postseason. I'm good. Not going to put him in. Like, again, you can't strip somebody's ballot because they're an idiot, but that is just... Like,
well, Cap, when you look at the results from yesterday, the ballot should really have five names on it, and it's missing three. So if you want to go after the one guy who felt it was necessary to not acknowledge that Derek Jeter is a Hall of Famer, which is crazy, that's one angle to go after. From my perspective, I also see an issue with the fact that Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Curt Schilling, Schilling at 70%, Clemens and Bonds right at 61% of the vote. Those are Hall of Fame players, but for some reason they're not getting in, and many are going to point to the steroids. But then to someone who is younger watching baseball throughout the 90s, you have to then tell me that every person who's in the Hall of Fame is a clean baseball player. And I don't know if people who vote on this can make that statement. I don't think that they can come back and say every single person in the Hall of Fame is a clean baseball player.
Okay,
and since they can't, Cap, you might as well put these guys in because you have the Hall of Fame, you have a home run leader, you have one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and Curt Schilling should probably be in the Hall of Fame too. At 70%, there's reasons off the field to why people aren't putting him in.
Would he wear a MAGA hat or a white hood?
Who knows? Probably. Hopefully, neither are allowed. My point being, Cap, is that the Hall of Fame voting misses the mark outside of its target demo of old white guys. Because that's what it's all about. The old white guys who are voting for this feel like they are the morale police, and they don't want to acknowledge people who are actually Hall of Famers. Okay. If you've seen Clemens and Bonds play, they're Hall of Fame players. That's it. End of story. Yes, no. Hall of Famer. Okay. Yes, no. All right. Derek Jeter, Hall of Fame player. Yes, no. Okay. Yes. Why is someone leaving him off? It's asinine.
Okay. First of all, Curt Schilling is not being kept out for PEDs. He's being kept out for a couple reasons. One, he's a jag. And people that have been around him, who I know, who managed him, said, yeah, he's not a really good guy. That shouldn't keep you out of the Hall of Fame. But his regular season ERA of 3.94 is not Hall of Fame worthy.
Okay,
but when you factor in his postseason success, I can understand a voter putting him in.
Okay, baseball stats, fine. I understand. Uh-huh. If it's off the field transaction,
that shouldn't matter.
Whatever it is, why are you the morality police here?
Agree.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's baseball player. Is he an Hall of Famer? And yes or no? And it should be a simple, like, the one thing that also bothers me, to add a third element to this conversation, Cap. Mm-hmm. Larry Walker gets into the Hall of Fame with 76% of the vote.
He's a Hall of Famer.
10th season of eligibility, mm-hmm. The last time he's eligible.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, that shows us that he's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think he should have been in before. Well, I think he is a Hall of Famer.
Okay, but my point is, why did it take so long and why all of a sudden the bump? So do we have to wait for Clemens and Bonds to get to that 10th year to finally put them in?
Look, I would not ever put Bonds and Clemens in, ever.
Okay,
ever.
So Alex Rodriguez, never going in.
No.
Robinson Cano, never going in.
No.
Okay. Because they're all Hall of Fame players, by the way.
I'm not putting any of those guys in.
Okay, so should young people who grew up in the 90s into the 2000s and Gen Z now, mm-hmm. should we have our own Hall of Fame for the players that we watched and appreciated and enjoyed? Because we're not allowed to have the players that we saw play baseball. Sammy Sosa should not be talked about, should not get votes, because he didn't exist, apparently. Barry Bonds didn't exist, even though he's still around the game. Mark McGwire, around the game, working in the game, but not allowed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy to me.
Okay, number one. First of all, on Larry Walker. Larry Walker was a five-time All-Star. He was one of the best defensive outfielders in the game. He won three batting titles, hitting 363, 379, 350. He's 79th all-time in the history of the sport, of the tens of thousands of guys. 79th all-time with a career batting average of 313. Twice he led the entire NL in OPS. Career 965 is 15th all-time. Slugging twice led the National League. Career 565 is 12th. On base percentage, he's 55th all-time at a career 400, and twice led Major League Baseball at 452 and 458, 97 and 99. So,
Cap, those are all great stats. So explain this to me. Last year in the voting, mm-hmm. he only got 54% of the vote. Why in the last year has it jumped to 76%? And if you go
disagree.
Back, hold on. If you go back to last year, Bonds, Clemens, and Schilling all got more of the vote than Larry Walker did last year. So what? Oh, okay. Oh, by the way, it's his last year. So now we got to shove him into the Hall of Fame. So that's what we're going to do with Schilling, Bonds, and Clemens.
Yeah.
How did he jump those three players in 1 year?
Curt Schilling.
Did the stats change in the last year? That's why I'm asking you, Cap. In the last year, did Bonds, Clemens, and Schilling's stats decrease while Larry Walker's jumped by over 20%?
By the way, I was Curt Schilling. It's 346 ERA, not 394. 346, that's on me. Curt Schilling.
Well, explain to me the Larry Walker. How did he jump 20% in 1 year?
I can't answer that for you.
Okay, so he's not a Hall of Famer then. You see what I'm saying? It's a yes-no thing. It's not a him and haw and wait till the very last chance to turn your paper in.
For me, but there are voters out there.
Well, and that's the problem. The voters. That's the problem.
You're right. But there are voters out there who they believe that getting in on a first ballot is like another honor, and we're not giving that to everybody.
Yeah, they gave it to one guy.
First ballot, there's a million guys that gave
it. Right. But
100%.
100%.
They've given it only to Mariano Rivera.
Talking about Jeter.
But what I'm saying is, how does a voter have a ballot and look and go, Greg Maddux, nah, not putting him in on the first ballot.
Yeah,
like, that's just stupid.
Right.
Tom Seaver. Tom Seaver is one of the greatest pitchers in the history of the sport. Nah.
Cap, someone left Jeter off their ballot. That person should no longer be allowed to vote. End of story. Did that guy not watch baseball?
I don't. That's what I said. I don't disagree with you, but can you strip someone's ballot because you don't agree with their opinion?
Well, oh, please. That's not an opinion. That's making a statement.
Probably
that's not
right.
an opinion.
Probably
Are you kidding
right.
me? What kind of opinion is that?
Now, I personally...
Is it a Skip Bayless ballot? Is that what we're doing?
Right.
Just wild opinions just for reaction?
I personally, if I ever... And I'll never get a ballot. I've covered baseball for 25 consecutive seasons. But because I'm not a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America, I don't get to vote, which I think is BS. I think that's garbage. I watch more baseball. Dude, Teddy Greenstein gets a ballot. He hasn't covered baseball in a decade.
He covered this. No, no, no. Teddy covered a lot of White Sox games last year for the Tribune.
Okay.
I'm not arguing you over Teddy. I love Teddy.
What I'm saying is Teddy's a college football and golf writer. Maybe he filled in on some baseball, but he's got a freaking ballot. There are guys on there that have ballots. Phil Hirsch was the Olympic guy for 20 years. He did baseball eons ago. He had a ballot. I watch more baseball than a lot of those guys that vote. But because I'm not in the sanctimonious BBWAA, I can't get a ballot. Other guys like me. I guarantee you Carmen DeFalco watches more baseball than a lot of them. But I was on a beat. I covered a team for 25 consecutive seasons. But, yeah, I will never, ever, if I ever got a ballot, vote for Clemens, Bonds, those guys. Quick timeout. We're back in 2 minutes. Mike Tannenbaum coming up.